Dubai Eye
103.8. Let's introduce our special guest, because it's good to have him in studio. And it's always good to get his thoughts on a variety of different subjects. Vit Patel is the managing partner, at DubaiLad.com. He is DubaiLad.com, basically. He's here live in studio. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me on the show again.
All well?
Oh, well, yeah, we're all going really well, actually. From Dubai Lad's perspective, since we last spoke, I came on the show and you asked me a bit more about our followers. And we said that, yeah, we're up to about 800,000 followers on Facebook and we're trying to reach that target of 1 million. Well, we're now up to 900,000.
Nice.
902,000, to be precise.
Oh, you're monitoring it as we go, yeah? Well, let's see how far we can get during the next hour or so. If people want to find out more about Dubai Lad, if people want to follow, how do they do that?
DubaiLad.com. You can go there for the news from a lad's perspective in the UAE. It's just a more fun, lighthearted version of the news. And you've got Instagram and Facebook. We've got, if you just go to @TheDubaiLad, you can find us there.
Let's get to a couple of the stories that we've been following this morning. One of them is aviation, of course, with the launch of what would potentially be the longest flight anywhere in the world. It's landed successfully. This is the world's longest flight, successfully being tested earlier this morning. 50 passengers and crew travelling nonstop from New York to Sydney, the wrong way around the world, if you like, if there is a wrong way or a right way. It took them 20 hours, or nearly 20 hours, 19 hours and 16 minutes before they touched down in Australia early on Sunday morning with fuel to spare. This is something of a test case with just 50 people on board to see how they would fare. A lot of people have been in touch with regards to this one from Eunice, saying, look, the effect's not going to be on the passengers. Flying 20 hours plus effect will be on the cabin crew and the pilots that are doing the 20-hour flights all the time. That would be the amount of radiation the crew members are exposed to. Also, it will be the amount of rest and disrupted rest and sleep. 20 hours up there in the air. Would put pressure on the body, that's for sure, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I would not want to take a 20-hour flight direct. We've also been talking about crime, scams, etc. Hi, Tom. Had my motorbike stolen 1st of August. After a lot of pushing, the bike was recovered. Very happy. And then it got lost again. I didn't know where it was. And to top it off, I had to pay to collect it from Emirates Auctions. Paid for the damage to the bike. And also just this morning, paid for a temporary number plate as the thieves stole that also. And when I did find the bike, it was sitting in the desert with scooters tacked on top of it. This was a 100,000 dirham bike. I was not very happy, but super happy I recovered it.
Big thank you to you for that. To Jochen as well, who's also been the victim of a scam here in the region. Jochen, we've got passed on your message to the Aero News team. They'll be looking into that and being in touch with you. It's a strange one, isn't it, Vit? I mean, you know, you've been here for a while. It's not you sort of grew up in other parts of the world. It's not something. When I mention the word crime, what my sort of definition of crime here is very different to the crime that I might face back in the UK.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the UK, crime takes on a whole different meaning.
Yeah.
Here, really, it's one of the most safest places
in
the world. Yeah. You're not going to see the sort of crime on the streets that you may do in sort of like a major European city or an American city. But it does take on that different perspective. And when you do see these scams cropping up here and there. And the funny thing is, from like a Dubai Lad perspective, we see it from a different angle, because a lot of the stuff that we try and do is quite lighthearted. So we try and prank the scammers sometimes, where we'll call them back up, we'll put on accents and we'll try and see how far we can keep them on the phone.
Love that.
That is one way to do it, that's for sure. We've got the Dubai Lad team in-house. Let's do events first and foremost. So mark our card, Mr. Vit Patel. What can we look forward to?
Okay, so, well, when it comes to the F1, the full lineup has been announced. The last two artists were Marshmello, the DJ, if you haven't heard of him, he's one for the younger generation, dresses up as a giant marshmallow with LED lighting eyes. Fun fact about him, he's the first ever DJ to play a set in a computer game. So he played a set in the computer game Fortnite, which is quite popular amongst the teenagers nowadays. And 2 million people turned up in the game for his set.
No.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible to see how things are evolving in the world of the DJ arena. Second artist that was announced is Lana Del Rey, the songstress. Absolutely beautiful voice. Really looking forward to that one. And then, of course, we've got Travis Scott, the hip-hop artist from America, and one for the slightly older generation like myself, The Killers, which I'll be looking forward to see.
Yeah. That's all coming down to F1. There are no shortage of good gigs around town between now and the end of the year, so make sure that you plan accordingly. That's till the end of the year. A year from now, we'll be doing very different things. It'll be the start of Expo.
And actually, to this day, so they've got a gig that's happening tonight to celebrate the fact that it's a year till Expo, with Mariah Carey and local artist Hussein Al Jasmi playing. That'll be at Burj Park. Tickets sold out. Well, it was a free gig, so when tickets went online, they were just gone literally within seconds. So good luck if you are still looking for a ticket. It's going to be hard to find. They're going to have like a 2020 countdown. So at 8:20 there's going to be a fireworks display and also a Burj Khalifa LED light show, which sounds quite interesting.
Looking forward to that. WS, World Ultimate Strongman, is back, which has taken me by surprise because I've not seen much about it.
Well, look, I'm really looking forward to this one, actually.
I went last year. It's brilliant. It was really good last year.
Yeah, this reminds me, it just brings back so much nostalgia for me. I just remember as a kid with my dad in the living room watching the World's Ultimate Strongman, when you've got the big guys like Jeff Capes and Magnus Magnusson lifting the Atlas stones or pulling a lorry along, you know? It's that kind of nostalgia that's 100% wants to make me want to go. It seems like every single year or every single generation, these guys are getting bigger and bigger. So a few fun facts, like the competitors for this event average between 6'2" and 7 feet tall. They weigh in between 160 and 200 kilos. I mean, that's the same weight as either a lion, a bear or a gorilla.
And all three together.
Exactly. And we found out a few facts about them as well. Like, some of the strongmen eat between 10 and 15,000 calories per day. That's over 6 to 7 meals, which is insane. Just to put that into perspective, the average human, male or female, would eat between 2 to 2,500 calories a day. That's 10 to 15,000 calories. It's a massive amount. And things to look forward to, anyone who's a Game of Thrones fan could look forward to Thor Bjornsson, who played Gregor the Mountain from Game of Thrones. He's going to be there. He's last year's winner, I believe. We actually went behind the scenes with some of the guys just to see what they're like in everyday life. And we followed a couple of the guys from last year, Eddie Hall and Robert Oberst. These guys, they went to Abu Dhabi and they went drag racing. And these guys are just as competitive just in everyday life as they are when they're competing in strongman. Like, both of them, to start, seeing some people that big trying to get into these Chevys was quite hilarious, because they couldn't fit in. One of them had to open the sunroof and have his helmet popping out. But they were super competitive, honestly. If one wasn't winning, then he'd be blaming the track or something like that. So, I mean, it's going to be really fun to see how they are actually at the event and how competitive they become.
It's taking place this weekend. It's the World's Ultimate Strongman. Keep an eye on that one. We talked music a little bit earlier on. What about music festivals? Got a few coming to town as well?
Yeah, so the big news is Ultra Music Festival is coming to Abu Dhabi. Now, Ultra Music Festival, this was announced at ADE, which is Amsterdam Dance Event that's happening at the moment in Amsterdam, one of the biggest dance events in the world. They announced that Ultra will be coming to Abu Dhabi. Now, anyone that's not familiar with the brand, it's one of the biggest global dance music festivals in the world. They have 15 editions globally, and they bring a who's who of dance music stars. Anyone from The Prodigy, Carl Cox, David Guetta, Tiesto, Underworld, Calvin Harris. I mean, it's literally, the lineups are monstrous. It's good. What we know so far, not too much has been released yet, but what we know is it's going to be a 2-day festival. They have two main stages, which is the Ultra stage and Resistance stage. So hopefully they're bringing both of those, because they have slightly different types of genres on each. This will be a major event for the growth of dance music in this region.
That's what's coming to look forward to as Ultra comes to the UAE for the very first time. One man who's returning to the UAE, he's claimed as one of the Philippines' greatest exports. Is that still the case?
Why do you keep saying that? It's embarrassing.
Because that's all you ever hear. Whenever someone mentions Bruno Mars, oh yeah, he's Filipino. Yeah.
He's American, but yeah, ethnically he's Filipino Puerto Rican.
Ah, okay.
There you go, FYI.
He's coming to town?
Yes, yeah. He's going to be bringing his 24-karat magic to Abu Dhabi. I think it's his first time in Abu Dhabi, but it's not first time in the UAE, right? So it's going to be for an event called Resolutions, which is a two-day event. By night, it will be the concert with Bruno Mars. By day, it's a more family-friendly vibe, where they're going to have a lot of like sort of kid-friendly activities and things like that going on. Few fun facts about Bruno Mars. He used to be an Elvis impersonator at the age of 3. The second that one that I thought was a fun fact that people might not have known, but obviously it's common knowledge, is that he is part Filipino. His mother emigrated from the Philippines to Hawaii, and met his father when she was a hula dancer.
Look at that. That is Mr. Bruno Mars. He'll be in town for New Year's Eve. And Mr. Carl Cox also heading this way.
Well, actually, this event happened. It was the biggest opening party of the season. So I thought it warranted like chatting about. I mean, the season's like opened and it's been a great season for a lot of the different major sort of nightlife venues, beach clubs and things like that. Soho Beach opened on the 11th with Carl Cox. And it was just insane. I spoke to the general manager, Richard Jenman, who told me over 5,500 people attended the event.
It's a biggie, that's for sure. It set the tone and obviously set the bar very high as well for the forthcoming festivals and events around town. Let's talk Halloween if we can quickly, because that is on the horizon. It just seems to me that, I don't know if it's because my kids are getting older now and every year they get more excited, but it just seems that Halloween gets bigger and bigger in terms of celebrations and parties each year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this region, Halloween's just grown like massively. Everyone's doing Halloween party this year. And the thing is, there's a lot of major artists that come out specifically for Halloween. My top pick for Halloween would have to be Giorgio Moroder at Armani Club. Mm. Anyone who may not be familiar with the name will be familiar with Giorgio Moroder's work, because he has been one of the most influential artists and producers of our generation when it comes to dance music. So he's 79 years of age now, but still going strong. He's known as the father of disco, and he's been influential in the evolution of the dance scene for over 6 decades. So he's worked with the likes of, back in the day, Donna Summer on I Feel Love. That was him. Blondie, Call Me, David Bowie, Berlin, Take My Breath Away. So, I mean, people have known him, and not just from back in the day, but now as well. So now he's worked with Daft Punk, Kylie Minogue, Britney Spears, Sia. So even if you're not familiar with his name, you'll know who he is through his music. He's got 3 Academy Awards, 3 Golden Globes, and 3 Grammys. He's worked on different movies, such as Top Gun with Take My Breath Away, which everyone pretty much knows, and What a Feeling in Flashdance is one of his as well, which he won Oscars for. So, I mean, for me personally, as an electronic music fan, this is definitely one that I'm going to be at.
Yeah. Wasn't my one that my daughter was imploring me over the weekend that she wanted to go to? She's probably too young, but she was imploring me that she really wants to go to the Fatboy Slim gig, because I think that's on Halloween night as well, isn't it? Party
it is.
Park or whatever?
It is, yes. Yeah, yeah. That's Halloween too. That's definitely one to go and watch.
Go and watch that one as well. Said something out of turn, have I? Yeah? Okay, I'm right, all right. Good behaviour. Obviously, I've got the bad behaviour gene at the moment, but let's talk about good behaviour schemes that are taking place around town, because this is one of the big stories of the day. In fact, this has been our talker today. Zina Zellemeyer will tell us more, and then we'll get the thoughts of Vit Patel on this particular talker.
Yes, it's a national scheme in the works. So the idea is, if residents display good behaviour, then they will get points for that, that they can exchange for free government service. We don't know the types of good behavior that will be recognized and rewarded, but it got a lot of you talking and basically asking, how will this be executed?
Fip, good idea.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, I'm a father of 2.
Yep.
And I use this tactic all the time with my children. So funny enough, just yesterday, we introduced a sticker book for our daughter because she keeps on getting up in the middle of the night, coming into our room. And we said, look, if you sleep through the night in your room, we'll give you a sticker. You get enough stickers, we'll get you a bunk bed, because she's wanted a bunk bed for a long time. Now, why does this only have to be for children? Like, why can't adults have the same scheme implemented for them? Because, I mean, we all could do with a bit of, you know, like an extra push to do our bit for the community, or do our bit to treat each other better. So we don't know the ins and outs of how this scheme's going to work, but if it's done in the right way, I think it could be a really positive thing.
Yeah. Let's have a little chat about this this DJ, if we can, a Dubai DJ. Now, no surprise he's won a competition, but it's what he's won that really caught my imagination.
Yeah, so a Dubai DJ, he won a 6-acre private island and 100,000 dirhams, courtesy of an Emirates NBD competition. Now, as a prize, that just sounds insane. And this guy, Brendan Lopez, he's 27 years old. He still lives with his mum and dad. And now he owns a private island alongside the Atlantic coast of Canada. And he's never set foot in the country, which is absolutely incredible. He's been quoted as saying that he wants to call the island Karakchai Island. So it's nice. Good to see he's got a sense of humour.
Yeah.
And he's also been quoted as saying that some months he doesn't earn anything and some he can earn up to 10,000 dirhams. Now he's got 100,000 dirhams. He's got an island. He's a DJ. I'm assuming he's just going to make it party central, right?
That's what you think, isn't it? So where is it? It's in Canada, off the coast of Canada.
It's off the coast of Canada. They've estimated that it could be worth anywhere between $60,000 to $2 million.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So he could sell it now if he wanted to.
Potentially, yeah.
Well done, Brendan. If you're listening, do get in touch with us. Brendan Lopez, the owner of that brand new island, a 6-acre private island, and a bit of spending money as well. That's all courtesy of a Win a Private Island competition here. To the sports now. Busy time for sports fans around the world at present, Vip.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, especially with the Rugby World Cup,
yep,
which is at the forefront of every sporting fan's like face at the moment.
Yeah.
We had yesterday England, my home country, beating Australia 40-16. It was a strong performance by England. It was a little bit nervy at times. At one point, there was only a point in it. In the first 10 minutes of the second half, Australia came out strong again, but England managed to sort of weather the storm, and they came back. Owen Farrell's kicking was on point.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had 100% conversion rate, yeah, and that kind of made a bit of a difference as well.
Yeah, indeed it did. Two games today. We've got Wales against France as we speak at the moment. And then after that, the host, Japan, who's everyone's favourite second team, unless you're Japanese, that is, against South Africa. So those to look forward to today. There's been sportsmen in town aplenty. What's this about you and Manny, your new best mate?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Dubai lad were lucky enough to interview Manny Pacquiao when he was in town a couple of weeks ago, promoting his basketball league out of everything. So he's got a new basketball league that he's launched, and they were playing here in the UAE. Now, Manny's a senator, he's a boxer, now a basketball player and a movie star as well, I hear. It seems like the guy does it all. Mm. But yeah, when he was here, it was interesting. So we talked to him a lot about the boxing that he's doing. And one of the things that he said that he really, really wanted to do in 2020 was fight in the UAE, because he understands he's got a lot of Filipino fans in this region, alongside fans from around the world that are here. And after sort of the strong showing of the UFC in Abu Dhabi, he sees the potential for the fight game in this region. So he said he wants to talk with the government out here. He wants to set up a fight. Amir Khan, who's a name that was put out there a long time ago, he said he wouldn't, he was open to that fight, but it seemed like he's not really fussed about who he fights, but he just wants to fight in this region for his sort of Filipino fans.
I mentioned that is your new best friend. I'm feeling a bit left out, actually, what with you guys interviewing him. You got a selfie with him?
Yeah, just a selfie. I didn't even talk to him. I just needed a selfie.
You must have said something to him.
Hi, Senator.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Very formal.
He's tongue-tied, yeah, but he was very nice. But I agree, he's in everything. Senator, singer, movie actor. It's he needs to focus on his boxing, maybe.
He's also got his own cryptocurrency now as well.
What's it called?
It's called Pac Coin or Pac Token.
One of those.
Yeah.
What else about one more tennis Mbadla? That's coming up, isn't it? It's not that far away.
Yeah, that's coming up end of the year. So they've announced the top four players. Rafael Nadal, ranked number two, that's going to be there. There's Daniel Medvedev, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Ranked number four. Maria Sharapova, who was the former number one ranked female. And Amanda Anisimova. Now, they've got one more player that they're announcing this week. I thought I'd be able to mention it on the show, but unfortunately, I can't. But it's a big one.
It's a big
one. Yeah, just watch this space. There's going to be someone else announced this week, and it's going to be good.
Watch that space. That's what's coming up, the Tennis Mbadala Tournament, Mbadala World Tennis Championship in Abu Dhabi just before Christmas. Change of dates this year. Let's get the Facebook story in if we can, because they've launched... What have they launched?
So they've launched their new virtual reality world named Horizon. Now, basically what this is, it's a virtual reality universe, as they call it, where you can build your own environments, games, play and socialise with friends in different sort of landscapes that you create, all in a VR world. So basically, I don't know if you've seen the film Ready Player One.
No, I've not seen it yet.
It's basically like it's a Spielberg film where like people go into this virtual reality world and they're interacting in this virtual reality world. My whole worry is because I'm old school. Like for me, gaming was like sitting with your friends before the internet and like all playing together. My whole worry is that everything's just going to be so like secular in the real world. Like I mean, you're just going to have people in this artificial environment who are engaging in this artificial environment. I mean, is that the future? Is that where Facebook are going? Are we all going to forget about the real world and go into this sort of VR world? It poses a lot of different questions.
It does indeed. Yeah. Just how much? What are the barriers of reality these days? Obviously, one of the big events that has been taking place over the weekend has been, dare I say it, the B word. Boris Johnson has asked the EU for a delay to Brexit, despite previously saying he'd rather be dead in a ditch than do so. The BNAT required him to send a letter requesting a 3-month extension if Parliament hadn't agreed to deal by last night. Guess what? He did that last night, but refused to sign it and sent another note insisting he doesn't want a delay. Yesterday, Prime Minister saying he wasn't daunted after MPs withheld their approval for his agreement.
Since I became Prime Minister, I've said we must get on and get Brexit done on October the 31st so that this country can move on. Mr. Speaker, that policy remains unchanged.
He's stuck by his guns, as have others. I mean, Vip, where do we go with this one? Brexit. We've got it for another 3 months.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, Brexit isn't something that Dubai lads really get involved with. We don't really get involved with politics because we like to focus on the more funny and comedic content. But to be honest, let's look at it. Like Brexit has become a bit of a comedy now, hasn't it? I mean, you've got the main character, Boris Johnson, who looks like he's out of a cartoon. He's certainly ruffled a few feathers since becoming PM. Basically, he tried to probe Parliament, as we all know, allegedly trying to pull the wool over the Queen's eyes, expelled 21 Conservative MPs who voted against this hardline strategy of his, and he's lost his majority in Parliament. And now this, you come onto the fact that he's sent two letters to the EU, one stating that Parliament requests another extension and not signing it, and then the other one stating that he doesn't, he wants Brexit to continue exactly the way that it is, and signing that one. I mean, this could get him in a bit of a trouble, to be honest, because arguably he's defying the will of Parliament, who voted a particular way, and the PM by convention should respect this, which could pose further problems for him in the future. It seems like calamity after calamity. For me personally, the best thing to come out of Brexit is the viral videos that Speaker John Bercrow is in saying, order, order.
Yeah, he is... He is. He's an interesting one, that's for sure. It seems to me, as a British resident or as a British citizen, much like you, and I'm sure you get this all the time with people coming up and going, "Can you just explain Brexit to me?" And I go, "No, I can't. Maybe you can as well." There's a sort of assumption that because we're British, we know the inner workings and the inner outs of it. I think we're the last ones to know, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. For me personally, I'm quite happy sitting here from afar, sipping my cup of Carrack tea and just watching on as this all unravels in front of us.
Mate, it's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much indeed. How many followers are we up to?
Probably 903,000.
Brilliant. Just added one over the last 50 minutes. That's perfect. If you would like to be one of those followers to get involved with Dubai Lad, what do they need to do, Vip?
Facebook and Instagram, just follow us at The Dubai Lad or go to dubailad.com.
Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks, mate. Lovely to see you. Thanks for being part of proceedings today. And have a good remainder of a Sunday.
Thank you.
Enjoy that one. Our thanks to Vip for coming on in. It is dubailad.com, or of course, they're all over social media as well.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.